Get ready as we dive into an incredible conversation with the power couple, Mike and Brenda Schmidt. We're about to unpack what makes their entrepreneurial journey soar high without sacrificing what truly matters. Now, please do yourself the honor of tuning in as we share their insights on designing a business that's aligned to their values and family life. We talk about communication quirks to respecting each other's boundaries. This one was a lot of fun. Tune in. Let's go.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Hey, you get a mess, Kapow, the incredible, amazing Liz Benny here, and I have the most incredible, amazing couple for you to listen and learn from today. Beautiful, amazing Brenda and Mike Schmidt. How are you, my friends?
Woo, doing good.
What's up? My little old Lord. Thank you so much. And in the history of this show, this is the first time we've ever had a couple show up on the show. So this is going to be a doozy. This is going to be good.
There you go.
Yeah, you guys are number one. So I have a very, very, very important question. This podcast is all about helping people build businesses and lives that they absolutely love, not at the cost of the things that matter most to them. And you are two gorgeous, incredible, amazing entrepreneurial people. And you are married and you have children and you have successful businesses. What to you two is absolutely non-negotiable? What are the things that you will never let get in the way of, like, what is too much? What is too costly to you when you're building your business?
You know, I think a good place to start is kind of like a mantra that I've lived it for a long time, but didn't recognize it. And it's that business is a game that we get to play, but it's also one that we get to design. I think that's why a lot of us are drawn to entrepreneurship, is that, like, we're tired of the rules, tired of the things that people say that we can't do, or that we can't have it a certain way. And I'll say that I think it's like a cycle that I've been through of, there's times where I forget that that's true, right? And the times where I've struggled the most are the times where I forget that business is actually a game that we get to design, not only get to play it as well. And so I think like, not the non-negotiable piece of it is that if business isn't serving us, or the thing that, like, we're creating no longer feels right, or is creating what we want, or isn't allowing for the family time, or isn't allowing for relationships, it's like the opportunity to recreate that, as opposed to having just design a very well-built job for ourselves.
Oh, I love that. And Brenda, what's non-negotiable to you? Like,
his business with Agency Coach, his slogan is own your agency, own your life. Yeah. And with my business, with Kick-Ass Modern Mom, it's live those some days today. And so we both are really about having the wealth and having the value we provide within our businesses, but also just living richly and not saving these ideas for someday when you're gonna, after we finally have this launch, after we reach this number, after we do these things, then we're gonna go and do the family trip. Then we're gonna go and go camping, go adventure. Then we're gonna start taking the family walks. Then we're, you know, all the things that you feel like are, I wanna have this version of myself someday. Like, no, how do we fit that in right now? And how does the business go around that? And so that's the priority for us, is really, what are the things we want to do in this life? And how does the business support that and make it even more possible, instead of pull you away from those kind of things and turn it into this idea that, like, okay, as soon as this, then this. No, like, both things exist together at the same time. These are parallel things that we do together.
It's both and, right? So you're living a life here where, I mean, you've both seen a lot of people make a lot of money and then lose it all, lose their marriage, lose their health, lose their happiness, lose the things that we think we're probably going to gain, and we think that they're going to get better as entrepreneurs. But all of a sudden, you know, maybe money has become the god, or maybe workaholism and the next thing or the next award has become the focus, as opposed to what you are both incredible at. And I've witnessed you over the years doing this. So I, like, for all of those listening and watching right now, these two are legit. Like, they are happily married. They are very, very, very incredible entrepreneurs, amazing entrepreneurs. And they're actually living life. You guys are living, in my opinion, the life that what like a lot of budding entrepreneurs want. It's the connection. Now, with that said, do you bicker? Do you two like have times when you're like, and if so, what is the stressor that normally creates that?
Do we fight?
I don't think we bicker or fight. I think I've left you one exasperated Voxer one time, and then I immediately felt really bad about that because I felt like, oh, wait, I just Voxer bombed you. I think every now and then it gets where I feel kind of just more exasperated, and I'm like, I have this ask, and I really need to figure out how to ask it better. And so sometimes it's just figuring out a better way to communicate the things that are important to me. And so, yeah, I don't think we ever really bicker. I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe do I nag?
We have to ask the kids. I mean, yeah, I think we've like developed like a communication pattern, but it's also like, so like in working together. So like, I'll tell you a story. So when a bunch of years ago, we were going to go snowboarding, and I have snowboarded and skied like a bunch of times in my life, and Brenda had never gone. And so our good friend, Jeff, who we call him Scoutmaster because he's like the guy you want around when shit goes sideways. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he's a firefighter now. And he's like the dude you want around. Right. So he's like volunteers. Like, I'm going to teach all you guys who don't know how to snowboard, how to snowboard. And so we're like, cool. Like Brenda's one of those people. She got on the ski lift and went up to the top of the hill with everyone else and Jeff and me. And Jeff like proceeds to teach all the people how to snowboard, but he wasn't teaching for the lowest common denominator. He was basically like, whoever could keep up with him still got coached down the mountain. But those got left behind, this one did not. So here I am, like, I did not sign up to coach Brenda to how to snowboard. Like, I knew how to do it, but I'm like, I'm not a teacher how to do this. So here I am trying to teach her how to get down the mountain. And like, we were that couple that like, if you've been skiing or snowboarding, you've probably seen that couple who is like, they're not happy and you can tell, and it's like not good. And so long story short, we get to the bottom of the mountain. Brenda hangs up her snowboard. She goes into the lodge. I don't think you've ever touched snow in that regard again. And it was like one of those moments where it's like, I think that, you know, it was not a good demonstration or not a good example of like communicating. Right. And I think like, as much as that might sound like a negative story, I think it's actually kind of a positive one, because it's like the way that we've worked together is like, hey, let's figure out our own stuff. And that when you need some help, ask. And like, if I know how to help you, I'm going to sign up for that. And if I don't, then I'm not going to be the person who signs up for that. But it doesn't mean we can't solve that problem together. And we've, I think, unconventionally solved lots of problems that neither of us knew how to do or knew how to solve. And I think that's one of the things that's, I think, cool about entrepreneurship is learning from that. Like there are no problems, it's just we learn from things, then we fix it. And it's been particularly cool to experience that again now with Brenda launching into her business of like, you know, recognizing when I'm the guy who is, you know, not teaching his wife how to snowboard, but maybe should be. And other times where I'm like, listen, you got to find the person who's going to teach you how to snowboard. And like, I might know some stuff about it, but I'm not that guy either. So.
And you've used that phrase too, which was really helpful to me, because there was one time where I'm asking for help in something and asking how to do something. And we're kind of like trying to figure out this thing together. And he even said like, look, I'm not going to be the one to help you snowboard down the mountain on this. Like, you know, we need to go call. And so it was like, for me, I was like, ah, I get it now. Like by bringing that back in, I realized like, and here's the thing about that story is he tells that story. And I always forget about that whole trip because I actually had such a great time, besides like fracturing my tailbone and the Cardinals did not end up making it to the Super Bowl, but, cause I was watching football the whole rest of the day in the lodge, but I had such a good time. And for me, I look back on that whole experience as like, wow, he was such a patient teacher, cause he went to go snowboard all day. Instead, It took me 3 hours to get down one mountain. Also, a little side note on my board, we rented boards, but we ended up getting up there late because we had to wait for a couple stragglers. And so when we get up to the rental place, we got like the scraps at the end. So I got this tiny little short snowboard that apparently people use if they want to go real fast, if they're like really skilled and they want to go real fast down the mountain. Like, it barely even fit my feet at shoulder width. And later, after I was like, I'm done, everybody took my little rental board and they were going, I don't forget what they call it. Like, anyways, they were taking my little short board
for a joyride,
for to like go extra fast and to do stunts and stuff. And so they're like, oh, I didn't know you had this the whole time. I would have used it. The people who were like super proficient. And I was like, thanks everybody for giving the newest newbie of all time. Like, not only am I not like an ice snow sports person, I don't even know how to skateboard or roller skate or any kind of like balance type of sport. Like, I rode horses growing up. It was very sturdy. So I was not prepared for all that. And they gave me the little short board, but I realized, like, I look back on that and I thought, Mike was so patient with me. And he was like dying inside for those 3 hours. But for me, it was frustrating for both of us, but I also just like felt so loved by him. But I know now that anytime I'm asking for him for help, if he says that, like, I'm not going to be the one to teach you how to snowboard this mountain, then it's like, oh, this is killing him inside to do this with me. Even if I feel like he's being so kind and helpful and I feel loved helping me.
It also sounds, yeah, this is incredible. This is amazing. It also sounds like he's respecting his relationship with himself and where his relationship with you ends.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of entanglement and a lot of messiness in my experience. And because I don't do it anymore. I used to coach like spouses in business. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like marriage counseling. It's like health coaching. It's like it all. And it's incredible. It's amazing. But it's a lot more in depth. I do it in a different capacity now, much different capacity. But there are so many different relationships. And Mike, it sounds like you were respecting your relationship. And now, like, you know where you finish and Brenda starts. And then you also know, like, it's like you've got the three relationships. Christy and I say this, like, I have a relationship with myself. She has a relationship with herself. And there are things that are important to me that aren't important to her. But then there are these things in the middle. And these are the things that we get to nurture. And when you try to bring stuff into the different container, it's not the right container. So I love this for you, because a lot of the time as entrepreneurs, spat at home can cause so much momentum loss, faith loss, belief loss, profit loss, focus loss, right? It can cause so much. So I just wanted to celebrate the two of you. The fact that at the beginning you were like, do we argue? I don't know. Do we argue? I don't know. There's this mountain thing that happened. And you were like, huh, that's right. Wow, what a credit to you two. What, like, massive congrats. Not many people can do this. This is amazing.
Well, and I think I've told you, Liz, also, like, I think we each have our own tools that we've come to rely on also. So, like most women, I like to talk things out.
Mm-hmm.
He sometimes doesn't need that. He doesn't need to hear it. He doesn't need to talk it out. He doesn't need to process it in that same way. And so a tool that I've come to rely on is when I need to talk something out is I just go on the Rev app and I just talk it out with myself. And I'll be like driving around town and just like talking things out that I need to process. So that then whenever I'm home and I can just like ask the specific question and not go on this whole rant of like whatever the process is.
I love this so much. Please, everyone listening and watching right now, I'm a verbal processor too. And sometimes I realize that I have just like verbally diarrheaed on someone else so as to get to the point at the end where I'm like, oh, actually what I meant to say is that. And it's like one freaking sentence. And I'm like, oh, sorry. I just cost you part of your life. Right.
Yeah.
So Brenna, I'm hearing that you are in tune with yourself. You're respecting yourself and you're also respecting Mike in this as well. Like, this is incredible. What a gorgeous example, you two. I hope everyone is loving just witnessing this right now. I wanna talk about something else that comes up a lot in entrepreneurship, because I think you're both courageous. Oh, you're just courageous leaders in alcohol being something that was a big part, Mike, of your life. And Brenda, you kind of went along for the journey. And then, Mike, one day, for whatever reason, I'd love you to tell your alcohol story here. My wife, Christy, teetotaled. She went, this is not for me. And it has been one of the best things that has ever happened to my life, our life, our marriage, her life, our marriage. Like, I'm so incredibly grateful for her teetotaling. And it's just been incredible. So, Mike, because I know that Brenda's now teetotal. She was like, I'm just not going to do it. But Mike, why did you quit? What were the warning signs that you saw? What have you in business seen as the benefits for your sobriety?
Yeah, I love talking about this because I think you're right. It is something that a lot of folks struggle with. And if you would have told me that in some respects, I'd be somebody that was looked at as admirable for their relationship to alcohol, I'd be like, not a chance. Not a chance. Like, I was a guy that would kidnap you and take you to the bar because I wanted to drink and I needed a buddy to hang out with, you know, and that was on a nice day. So it was like, so it's been about at this point, 6.5 years, over the summer will be 7, since I stopped drinking. And so, like, I think, you know, I've knew for far longer than I like actually took action that I wanted to change the relationship with alcohol, that it was a problem. Although I wouldn't have like classified it. I just knew I wanted to stop. But it wasn't exactly sure
why.
I wasn't sure why. I'll start at the end and then maybe we'll work backwards from there. But like, I was part of a business group that, you know, I refer to it now as the drinking club because that's what it was and still what they do. And I still hang around these guys. They're good dudes. But I was at a meeting with them and I was drinking with them and I'm like, I can't get drunk. Like, I can't drink anymore. I could drink, but I can't feel anymore. Like, no matter how much I was drinking, I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And about that time, I was introduced to a mutual friend of ours, Annie Grace, who was in a mastermind group with us. And Annie's phenomenal. She had posted in a Facebook group that a testimonial from someone who was like, basically saying, I'm the guy who wouldn't stop drinking. I can't believe it. And I'm like celebrating a year. It was like an amazing testimonial for Annie and for this guy. And I was like, wow, if that guy can do it, like, maybe I should read this book that Annie's been talking about. Right. And so I read it. It's called This Naked Mind. And it is basically like a documentary. Right. So it's like like, if you ever watch a documentary and like, you can't unsee what's in it and you're like, dang, I shouldn't have watched that documentary. Well, it's like, I mean, in the best possible way, it's like, awesome. I learned a lot about how I was using alcohol as a cover up for the pain that I was feeling and for the stress and the anxiety. Right. And so if you ask me when I was like regularly drinking, like, did I ever drink? I actually had a doctor once ask me, she's like, Mike, what time of the day do you start thinking about alcohol? And I'm like, I don't know, like probably after lunch sometime or whatever. She's like, I just want you to sit with that. And she was at the time, I didn't really catch on to it, but she was like trying to help me see what she was seeing. But I wouldn't have classified myself as an alcoholic. I wouldn't have, like, if you asked me why I was drinking, I would say because, you know, just to blow off some steam, to like have fun. It's like exciting. And like, you know, it's just a socialization thing. But what was happening is I was drinking for the fun times to celebrate, you know, but I was also drinking to numb losses and to numb pain. And so what was a 5 p.m., you know, bar visit turned into a 4 and a 3 and then a lunchtime thing. Right. And then it was, you know, it was just, you know, very often. Right. And so like, I know now because like I could smell alcohol on anybody like crazy. Like if you drank right now, I could probably smell it from Tucson to New Zealand. Right? Like it's that good. But, and I would come home thinking like Brenda didn't, she didn't know I stopped for a beer or like didn't know how many. I'm like, now I'm like, yeah, she freaking knew. Like, if you could see,
did you know Brenda?
It's crazy.
Did you always know?
Oh, I have like super strength. If you get a cape for smell, I have it. But also, this was all while I was pregnant and with little babies and nursing. And so it was just extra challenging because, one, my nose is extra sensitive, but I also just felt so alone a lot of times because when he was home, he wasn't present.
Yeah.
And then, or if he was home, he was thinking about that he'd rather be somewhere out with all his buddies and drinking. And so when he decided to stop, at first I was like, it was like a hiatus at first. It was like, I'm going to do it not for 30 days. Okay. Now I'm not going to hang out with people for a little while because I don't want to be triggered. Okay. Now. And then it was just like, okay, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. And so I think it was like the 30 day thing.
I think I didn't tell you, and maybe you noticed at first, but like, I don't think I told anybody for almost a month. Like I just kind of stopped. And I was like, I wasn't sure. And that's kind of what Annie talks about in the book. It's just like, you know, and also like in recovery circles, it's just like, I'm not going to drink today. Right. One day at a time. And so it was like one of those things where I wasn't sure how long it was going to be. And truthfully, like, that's kind of still my attitude. I'm like, I'm not sure how long that's going to be, but I just know it's not today. Right. And I think that also took a lot of pressure off, because I'd done the 30 day break before, like a lot of people done, like, you know, dry January or, you know, different like 30 day things. But like, what would happen is on like February 1st, like, all the drinks that I didn't drink in January got consumed in February 2nd
for the next 10 days. 5th,
right.
So total. Yeah. Bender.
Yeah. So it was always just like a stacking up of that. And this was different because it was an opportunity to do that. And truthfully, like, you know, because drinking wasn't working, I turned to Coke, and like, that was like the extra thing to like, you know, sprinkle on literally, the party. And it was, and so that was like, also just, you know, became a normal thing. And like, I would carry it in my pocket, and like, I'd be constantly nervous about pulling my wallet out, cause what if it falls out? And it's just like, it was like not fun. And I actually like stopped that first. Like, I was like, I had this moment where I threw it all away. I was like, enough of that. And that was like, then I was like, got used to the idea of maybe, you know, changing the relationship with alcohol. And so, yeah. And so lots has changed since then. And it's like, you know, if you were going to run like a marathon and do like this, like massive, like, you know, super marathon, 50 miles, like you would train for it, and you would have a coach, and you would change your eating habits, and you do all these things. Right. And I was expecting to, you know, create this amazing, awesome business while I was like, you know, half abled, right. Most of my faculties were not there. And so, you know, I really look at that, you know, I know a lot of folks in the entrepreneurial community have heard of the concept of a big domino, right? And so what's the one thing you can push down that has a positive influence on everything else? And 100% that changing the relationship with alcohol was a big part of it. And I say change relationship because I think for some people it's not about stopping drinking. And I think, you know, I've been around enough people now that have heard my story that sometimes when they first meet me, they'll assume like that I have something against drinking or that like it's wrong or whatever, but it's not, it's just like, for me, that was what I wanted to do. But for other people, like changing the relationship could mean something like moderation, you know, or some other version of that, you know.
This is incredible and amazing. Thank you so much, both of you, for being so courageous in, and also just so honest about how alcohol was affecting your marriage, your life. What would you both say if you could both kind of list two benefits to, because obviously Brenda, just in supporting, and you shared this with me personally, that in support of Mike, you were like, well, I'm just not that you were massively into it, but you're a sober house. Mm-hmm. What are the two positive benefits that you can both, I guess, just rattle off the top of your head that you've experienced? And maybe it's because you've been sober for so long that you're like, it's just part of your life. But if you compare yourself to others, like, what do you know is different about you and your business and your marriage as a result of your sobriety? Both of you.
I think for me, it just makes you feel like if I remember watching an episode of Survivor, and there was, they ask like, you know, what is the one thing you cannot do without? And this one lady that was on there years ago, she was like, my eyeliner, I can never exist without my eyeliner. And she's on this crazy island in the middle of nowhere, like with a hatchet with her eyeliner. And I thought to myself, like, whoa, like what power does that have over her? And what is it about her? Does she seriously dislike that the eyeliner is covering up or is like shifting her perspective? And I thought to myself, and it's silly, but like little things like that in our life trigger us to think about. And I thought to myself, what in my life has eyeliner power over me. And so it's like, for that lady, it was her eyeliner, but what is it? Something like, what could I never do without? And so when we were drinking, we were never like, you know, rolling on the floor with bottles out of our hands, like crazy, but it was always like every,
maybe always, I don't know.
we were the party people. Like we are like happy-go-lucky fun people. We're always hosting at our house. We always have barbecues. We're the ones that plan the vacations with the group. We're like, we're just jovial people. We're fun. And for us, it was always just like a way to add another element of fun. Mm-hmm. And it was to the point where then like we would take our meals and like every dinner we'd have something that would pair, like the pasta gets a red wine and the steak gets a hoppy beer and then this, and we'd have, you know, like that was just like another ingredient. It was like our foodie selves, but also our like craft beer selves, and when we'd go on vacations, we'd always look up the breweries and go do beer tastings. And it was really just a part of our identity. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where that was our eyeliner. And that was the thing that had so much power over us that we couldn't go to Survivor Island unless we had it. And it was like where everything was just better with it, to where we felt like it wasn't good enough without it. And for me, I felt like, I remember going to my kids' fundraiser at school and I had like my straw cup that I put in there, I don't know, like a margarita or something to take with me, because obviously there's no alcohol at a preschool fundraiser. And then I remember kind of thinking to myself, like, why do I have a margarita in my stroller? Come on. Can I really just like not drink a margarita for the 3 hours I'm here? Like, and I just like didn't even drink it. I left it in the stroller and I just was like, no, stop doing this. And so just like the idea that it's like, what in our life has so much power over us that we feel like we could not do without it. We couldn't leave our eyeliner home when we go to the island. And so I still, to this day, like I will think about like, okay, what is it now? What's the new thing that has power over me? And how do I let that power like go elsewhere? Like, I don't need that in my life. And so, so for us, like letting go of the alcohol really just gives you this whole identity that like, you can do anything in your own power and not let things have power over you. And so for me, one of the big turning points, I did read Annie Grace's book after he read it. And he's like, you should read this too. And I did. And I loved it. And I immediately said,
and I've read it too. It's incredible. And Christy's read it.
I was like, Annie, shout out to Annie. I was like, Annie, you don't even know me yet. But you've changed our family's life and it's just beginning. And then when I met her in person, at one of the ClickFunnels events, then I was like, you don't know me, but I'm going to give you the biggest hug in the world. And she's like, I do know you. I do. And so, so it's just, and I adore her. And I think she's changing so many lives, through her work. And so for me, it was, like I read her book and it made sense and I got it. Cause it's like the flower and the falling in and the, like, you know, just like the whole story of like, the tiniest little bit amount is that even okay for you? Right. Like some people are like, oh, but I only do it this time. I was like, is that still having power over you?
Yeah.
And so for me, that was important. But another book that I felt like helped me, I read 10% Happier by Dan Harris. And he talked about how he stopped drinking. And that one for him, it was just like, people would say, oh, why, what happened? And he would say, it just doesn't serve me anymore. And I was like, yeah. That's and for totally some people, my it's, answer.
Yeah, for some people, it's TV. For some people, there are things that they are doing in a repeated basis that were part of their old identity, and they have to actually unshackle themselves from that identity to get to the actual identity that they seek to become.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, some people need to use the whole rock bottom thing to create that situation. But I think what was interesting is like, as bad as things were, like there's nothing I would label as being like, this was the rock bottom thing that happened. Especially as I've talked to a lot of people in recovery that I'm like, okay, that didn't do that. That didn't happen to me. Right. But what stood out to me in Annie's book, and you're touching on it right there, is she talks about her dad stopping drinking. And she asked him like, why did you stop? And he's just like, I just decided to stop. And it's like, you know, here's this, I think she calls it spontaneous sobriety. I was like, when I heard that, I was like, you can do that? You can just stop? That's okay. Like, and I mean, as obvious and plain as day as it might be, it's like, you can, and you can make that choice.
Oh, I want to go somewhere with this. Cause if you can just stop, which is a decision to just free yourself of the idea that you couldn't and what needs to happen in order for you to quit. So if you are that powerful, what then can you, how then can we apply that in a different way? Like if you can just decide to stop, can't you just decide to be successful? Can't you just decide to create the life that you want? Can't you just decide for, you know, millions in profit without having to sacrifice your marriage, your health, your happiness, your bliss, your joy, your connection with your kids? Can't you just decide?
Yeah, I think that brings us full circle to the beginning. You know, business is a game that we get to play, but it's also one that we get to design. And so, yeah, you can design the game to be as profitable as you want. You can design the business to allow for you to have the family time that you want, or whatever it is that you're trying to create. And it's the stories that we tell ourselves or other people tell us and we accept as true, or we watch other people on the internet do it a certain way. And we're like, oh, that must be the way you have to do it. Or I have to pose with a Lamborghini on social media and look a certain way or be a certain way or say a certain thing. And then that's the way I get the thing that I want, which is like totally not true. That's one version maybe of getting it. But if that doesn't serve you, then like, design it the way that you want to do make the business the way that you want, because like there are no rules. Like there's no rules. And like, you know, there's lots of examples of challenging those rules. And I think alcohol is one of those things. It's like, you know, in order to be successful, in order to like make good relationships and network and go to these conferences and you have to drink because that's what everyone's doing. And you know, a lot of business gets done around the bar stool, whatever. Like, sure, it does. And it also gets done around other places. And, you know, it's like, which one do you want to opt in for?
And just because you're in the bar stool doesn't mean you have to have alcohol in your drink. It can easily be a non-alcoholic beverage. And by the way, what's your opinion? Because I have an opinion on this. What's your opinion on people who feel the need to pour water into a beer bottle?
Okay. So when I first stopped, the identity thing that we're talking about, oh man, my identity was still the dude who kidnapped people to go to the bar and hang out with them. And was the, like, and those other people around me, that here's the thing about identity. It's not just what we think, it's what other people reflect to us.
It's the projection of identity.
About who we are, right? So here I am showing up as this completely different dude. And they're like, who are you and why are you being like this? And so like part of that identity was literally holding a cup or a bottle.
Yeah.
It felt really hard. Like some people will not go to bars when they stop drinking, like it's triggering for them. But like, I still would go, and I don't know why. I just like, I didn't feel like I needed to drink, but I feel like there's people and there was like situations where I wanted to be, but I will say that I absolutely 100% needed to have something, right? If only like a club soda with a lime in it. So that way it looked like it was a cocktail or something like that. So I 100% was, I never poured like water into a beer bottle because like the cocktail glass with ice and sparkling water, you know, past what I thought other people were expecting of me. But you know, now it's just like, you know, I'm regularly in bars now because I play in a band again, which is another thing that I picked up since stopped drinking. And it's like, so I'm in bars all the time and there's people drinking all around me. And like,
your band's name is Swigfoot.
Yeah. The band is like a
drinking Jolly Bigfoot.
It's an homage to a drinking character. I didn't have a big say in the naming of the band. And but it's like, I do think it's funny that the band I'm in is like an homage to alcohol, which is hilarious, but you know, it's all good. It's all in good fun. It's good for marketing. So,
My gosh, this is amazing. This is incredible because the shift in the identity in business, in alcohol, in marriages, and like we're talking about simple but humongous concepts today. We're talking about communication. We're talking about identity. We're talking about decisions, which drives this game for us. And speaking about the game you play, what are both of you, what are the games that you're playing at the moment in both business and in life. So Brenda, if you go first, because I know you've got a budding business right now and you have been assisting Mike with Agency Coach, and you've been behind the scenes of a multi-million dollar business, which has been absolutely amazing, but you've got a budding business happening at the moment. And then Mike, I want to shift to you and I want to know the game that you're wanting to play. And then I want to know your mutual game where you're wanting to take your marriage in your life. So Brenda, go first.
Well, the exciting thing for me with my business is just realizing all the things that are already my favorite things to do and how I can do those through business, and how fun that is. And so like, I love meeting strangers, much to Mike's dismay sometimes, because I'm that person that if I go to the bathroom, I never come back out, 'cause I make friends with everybody in there. And he's like, where did she go? But I just love people and I just love learning about people. And so when you have a new business and when you're growing really quickly in a business, the opportunity to get to connect with other people and to go deep really quickly with those people is so much more accessible than whenever you're just like talking to, you know, your kids, whatever, the other parents at school or something like that. And so you really get to go deep with people and talk about things that are really meaningful and how they're changing the world and how like you want to change the world and okay, cool, let's collaborate. And so it's so fun because the like me talking to homeless people to learn about their life story and meeting random people in bathrooms to like find out their life story. Now I have this way more fun way of getting to know strangers, and they're like world changers, truly world changers that people get to have conversations with now. And so for me, that's been something that really lights me up. And so having my own podcast, getting to have those deep conversations for a whole hour with somebody, it fills my cup so much. I love it so much. And it's one of those things that you were like, holy cow, this is what I get to do. Like, I get to wake up and go hang out with my internet pen pals all day. And so it's, for me, it's just been so fun, really fun. And the further I go, the less the challenges matter. And so at first, you know, when like I've been behind the scenes with his businesses. And so the big, big, big challenges, like he talks them, we talk them through, but I'm not like on the combat line of it. You know, I'm like the reinforcements back at the base. And so now in my own business, I get to be on the combat line. And so I'm like, oh, like every time you butt up against a challenge or an obstacle, it feels different when it's yours. Mm-hmm. And so while before it was like still the challenges and still the learning moments and the growth opportunities, I got to have this like eagle eye view of how, okay, let's navigate this way. And now whenever I'm in it, sometimes it's great because then he gives me that same eagle eye view because he's back here. And so it's just been so fun because I get to take all the things that I already know that have already worked for the businesses that we've already had. And now in the new business, just already like having a lot more clarity and just like saying, this is like what it's going to be. This is super important aspect of it. And then also like, I think just like getting him on board with some of that, because there's some parts of my business that are different than what his businesses have done. And so just explaining to him, like, no, I know my target market and my target market is different than any of the markets that you've had before. And so this is the language I want to speak. This is the way I want to reach them. Excuse me. And then just like being so confident and sure in this, because I've also gotten to experience the other aspects of his business with him. And so it's just been so fun because I think for me, it's been just so cool to be able to use our strengths, and be like that yin yang in this. Whereas in his business, I would never really want to, overstep my bound. Right. And be like, you know, I'm kind of employee, but not really. I'm like the unpaid employee in the background that just kind of fills in the gaps whenever there's somebody missing or somebody leaves.
I totally get it.
The new person and the whatever, you know, and like, and so I'm like the VA that's not the VA, but I am the travel agent that's not the travel agent, but like, you know, so it's just like all these little tiny pieces, but then knowing that back when I was doing that, there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that were created by me being in those cracks and filling in those little gaps. And there was all these little systems and things that were kind of created from like the little breadcrumbs I would leave that now have created a lot of the systems that like work for employees and the team members. And so, and like taking those breadcrumbs and modifying it and like making a whole nother recipe out of it. And so for me now knowing, oh no, like those are strengths. Those are truly strengths that I had back then. And I do have right now also in this business. And so the areas where I don't have a strength, that's where I need to find something. I need to find a Brenda to compliment me, or I need to find a Mike, or I need, you know, and finding the little pieces of the puzzle to fill in those gaps where I'm lacking, or just finding the places to educate myself in those areas that I haven't gone yet. So yeah, it's just been so fun because you grow so much through business, but it's not until you kind of like reverse roles that then you like exponentially grow even more. And learn so much more about each other. And so it's just been, I think there's been challenges for sure, but it's just been such a great opportunity for growth. And then like the things that I learn, I immediately want to teach my kids and be like, oh, this is a great lesson. Okay, kids,
you know what?
Business, this is what
you are incredible. You could talk for like 5 million hours nonstop. I've worked that out about you so far. And I have the good fortune of being able to be in the car with you. By the way, what I mean by that, everyone listening and watching right now, is quite literally Brenda does have the ability to just meet people in the bathroom and suddenly become their best friends. We spoke 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and I was like, hey, we've got this retreat coming on in New Zealand. And I felt like I just needed to invite you. I you absolutely fit this category of the caliber of the people. And she's literally flying to New Zealand. So I had the good fortune of being able to hang out with you and hearing your beautiful story a lot more. You are going to take on the world in the most amazing way. I'm so excited for you. You've got this new, fledgling, amazing business. And Mike, where are you taking yours? What are you doing with this? What's going on? What's the big hope, the playground?
I'll answer that in a second, but fair warning. So when Brendan and I first started dating, we would drive from Tucson to California, which is about an 8-hour drive where my parents live.
Hold up. Am I about to get a warning about being in a car with your wife for like 5, 6, 7 hours?
So if you want, this is just if you want it. You don't have to play the game this way. But you could just ask one question and then shut up the rest of the time. And Brenda will tell you her life story. And like, she used to get self-conscious about it when I'd say that. I'd be like, no, this is great. Like, that's why we worked well together. We could literally be in a car for 8 hours. I'll just let her go.
You know? That's amazing.
Before you answer your question, here's another funny thing that you learn about each other, right? So in my brain, I thought that whole time that we were having a conversation, and I think it was like the third time we were driving out to California to visit your family, that then I started asking you questions and you were like, yeah. And what about this? Yeah, I'm good. And I was like, what is wrong with him? He doesn't want to talk to me this time. And then he made some comment about, no, but every time we drive, I listen, you talk. That's how it works. I never do the talking. And I was like, what? No, we always talk. And he goes, no, you just tell me stories and I learn about you. And I was like, start thinking about it. Like, are you sure? I'm pretty sure you talked. And I was like, maybe he didn't. So then I realized, don't take this personally. This is our dynamic.
This is beautiful in terms of how much you appreciate and love and respect each other, and you just fit. It's amazing. So I'm the verbose one in my marriage with Christy. I'm just totally like, you know, I'm the verbose one, but there's pockets of time, my girl, like she's just, and every now and then she will come to life and I was like, she goes bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, I just want to listen. She's talking. She's telling me more. It's amazing. Keep going. And it's incredible. It's amazing. Speaking about that, Mike, I'd love to get to know you a little bit more. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are your hopes? What are your dreams?
Yeah. So this last couple of years have been really interesting because, you know, as you probably know, but the listeners don't, I started my digital marketing agency in 2003. So a web design company back then was like, you know,
that's a long time ago.
I was on a podcast recently, interviewed by a guy, and we were talking about the fact that that business started in 2003. And his response was, he's like, I was still in diapers. when you started that. I was like, man, it's official. I'm here, man. It's like I'm the grandpa when it comes to digital marketing. That's for sure. It's crazy. But so that business is still awesome and successful, but I stepped out of it both feet, both myself and my business partner, AJ, at the end of 2020. Because we wanted to focus full time on what was a budding business of ours, Agency Coach, which is about helping people who are in the digital marketing space to create businesses that can run without them, like we had done for ourselves. And so, like, I know a lot about the agency space, and I love teaching and coaching and helping people through those similar transformations. And I'm also learning now a lot about running a coaching business and, you know, how that whole thing works and all the lessons that I learned in my original business, applying it to this, but then also promptly forgetting all the important lessons that, like, oh yeah, we did that way in that business because of this thing. And when then we went to this new business and totally threw that thing out the window, right? Like, why? Like, we already, so some of the lessons I'm learning again, right? Which is like, you know, sometimes it's frustrating because you're like, I feel like I shouldn't have to do that. But then again, it's like, it's also really much more powerful the second time around. So, so the agency runs very, very much without my input, and it's fantastic. And it's an amazing leadership team. We just had a retreat a couple of weeks ago with the leadership team. They brought in all of the team members from around that aren't in Tucson to have this awesome retreat. It's really just a cool perspective to have that. And the business the coaching business is one in which, like, I am very much involved in that, right? And so it's like figuring out, how do I have more businesses that operate without me? But this one is this coaching business is not that right now, but I intend for it to be. And so it's like another getting to go on that journey again. And, you know, I feel like every couple months I tell Brenda, I'm like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Like, in fact, yesterday I was at the coffee shop and the gal that was working there, hey, what you got big plans for the week? And I was like, I don't know. I think I'm just going to try and figure out what I want to be when I grow up this week. And she's like, all right, me too. And it's like, yeah, I feel like I'm constantly in that. And I know that's okay, but sometimes it's like, you know, ready for what's next and ready for that. And it's, what's cool is like, there's a lot to celebrate and there's a lot of amazing stuff that's happening in our coaching business. And we just had a live event in Phoenix a couple of weeks ago with our mastermind members that came into town, and it went phenomenally well and was just a success by all measures. And so we have a lot to celebrate in that. And it's just, you know, getting to spend time helping. I do know that my purpose, you know, however you want to phrase it, is like helping people get what they want, and helping people create businesses that serve them, and like helping them see that they don't have to play by the rules that they thought they had to play by, and that they can totally just design it the way they want. So, like, I know that whatever I'm doing, that's going to be a big part of it. But it's also been really cool to be, as Brenda put it, like, not on the front lines. Like, I'm the guy that's on the cameras and doing the things and always talking and running the trainings and all the things that, like, are very much in the front seat of that business. And so it's been fun to apply knowledge and experience that, you know, I've had in this business and also in, like, some of the mastermind rooms that I've been with you, Liz, like, and applying that to Brenda's stuff has been like, I'm like, okay, if I was going to start this over, a business over from scratch and put this all together, it's like, it's kind of fun. It's fun to do that kind of behind the scenes work and, like, make it happen, because it's like, you know, I've been training for this my entire life. So.
Oh my gosh, I love this. This is incredible. This is amazing. And when you work out what you want to be when you grow up, please let me know.
I've resolved that it's probably something I'm always going to feel. But
isn't that amazing?
The beauty in that is every time he says that to me, then I kind of am like, oh, he's going through one of those seasons. And then second, I know, I'm like, just give him space. Like, let him have some free time, because that's where the creativity bubbles up. But also, I always just, like, feel so grateful that we get to say things like that, because we know people, you know, you go to school with people that they like get this job and they're stuck in this job and they just think that's the thing until they retire. And they're like, or even I used to work in finance. And so I worked for these mutual fund companies that would put together 401ks. And so everybody on the phone is always like taking this action for this, some other life that they're going to have that's going to be separate than the one they have right now. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that statement of the, like, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up is like, it to me just sounds like and feels like I get to choose anytime I feel like it. I get to choose and decide and change my mind, and whatever I'm doing right now, maybe I'm not going to do it forever. Maybe I will, I don't know. And so that unknown feeling that sometimes makes you feel vulnerable and makes you feel like I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up also is so freeing to know that, like, yeah, I get to choose. Like, I'm not locked into anything.
And you're not making yourself wrong, and you're not making him wrong. You're not living in this world of right and wrong and shoulds. That's what I love. You're not. Yeah.
There's a awesome book. Here's another book recommendation. It's called When I Grow Up, and it's written by my favorite musical artist of all time. It's a guy named Weird Al Yankovic. So Weird Al, if you don't know, Weird Al wrote a children's book. It's called When I Grow Up. It's like the best book. And everyone who has a kid who's listening to this needs to go buy it right now. And if you don't have a kid, you should buy it anyway. But the whole premise of the book is it's about this kid who's put on the spot by his teacher to like give a presentation about what he wants to be when he grows up. And he's like, I don't freaking know what I want. And he goes through all these different things. And there's a like a part where he talks about his grandfather. He's like, well, my great grandfather, Bill, has been a whole bunch of things, had a whole bunch of jobs, a butcher, a bellman, a bouncer, a something, blah, 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 right? I should know it. I've read it a thousand times. And, you know, and frankly, he's 83 and he's not sure what he wants to be. So frankly, I'm hoping I'm only eight now, you'll cut me some slack, you know, and I keep my options open. Right. It's like, and so it's like, I love that book. And it's like, you know, even just the other day, like with the kids, it's like, I was telling them too. I'm like, well, I get to choose if I want to do something different too. Like, you know, it's, and that's so amazing. I think like that, that's just like super helpful to know that that exists. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of options out there, and you know, hopefully, you know, by the grace of the universe or God or whatever, that we get a long ass time here, and then like we get to do different things, because we're all going through different seasons all the time.
Yeah.
There's another book, Life in the Transformations, I think it's called, and they talk about that in our lives we actually go through an average of like 10 different life transformations, right? So that means like every 7 to 8 years, we have a major transformation. And most people can spot them early on. It's like graduating from high school and going to college and having kids and getting married. But then what? Like that's like four things. There's like six more that are going to happen in your life. You're like, oh crap. So it's like, you're either always entering a transformation or leaving one. It's very rare that you're actually in the middle of one where it's like, everything's going smoothly. So, which is also kind of like nice to think about, because you're like, okay,
you know what? This is just such a, it's such a beautiful, incredible, harmonious, uplifting conversation. I am just loving this. And I hope everyone listening and watching is loving this as well. May I please ask you, I know we're coming up to the top of the hour, kind of, we're kind of nearly there, but I want to go a little bit deeper with the two of you. And Mike, I want you to answer first, not because I think Brenda's going to speak for 5 hours, but maybe because Brenda's going to speak for 5 hours.
If you want, just give me a wink and I'll kick her under the table.
Like, time expands when my mouth opens.
It's beautiful. I love it. So I want to talk about, there are people who would love to be in your position from a marriage standpoint. You're happily married. You respect each other. From a financial standpoint, like you've got a really highly successful company that supports your life. You've been able to step out of it. You don't have the financial stress that many, many, many entrepreneurs have, or maybe we don't know what stage they're at. My question to you both is, if there is someone who is listening and watching right now, and they are what we would class as a miserable millionaire, someone who has the financial ability, or maybe they're a miserable nearly there, okay? Someone who's on close, maybe they're at $500,000, $250,000, but they're on their way to becoming more financially successful, but they're miserable. what would you want to say to that person who is in their misery, who is feeling the feels, who is wondering, what on earth am I like? What? Yeah, it's great for you, Mike and Brenda. You got your shit sorted. What about me? What advice would you want to offer to that person, Mike?
Yeah, gosh.
It's big.
Yeah, it's a big question, but I think it's the basics of it is like there's so much abundance around us and that there are people who have tapped into that. So if somebody who's coming to me, right, for that, right, then I would have to say like be around people that are like that, that have the millions or have the things and are like that, and ask them questions or ask them what books they're reading, like, or if they worked with a coach or a therapist or somebody, like who are the people that are putting stuff into their brains, right? Or who programmed their brains to think this way? And like, I would just go on a, you know, it doesn't even have to cost a lot of money. Somebody sat down, like, I think we've made like 3 or 4 book recommendations on this thing. Can you tell that we like books, right? So it's like, I'd be like, start listening and reading and putting yourselves in rooms and places, or hire a coach or work with, you know, start to train your patterns in thinking the way that they are, even if you don't believe it. Right. And you know, I recently had the opportunity to travel, to visit a longtime friend who is going through stuff right now. And I think the main thing that I asked him about was, do you believe, or at least if you don't believe, do you want to believe that that change is possible, or that your ultimate thing is possible? Like, and for him, like, he wasn't sure if it was possible. And so, okay, well, if you're not sure it's possible, do you want to believe that it is, right? Like, and I think that that question can unlock the action or the choice to do something different, to pick up the book, to ask for help, right? Because we're very much like we're doing a podcast from halfway around the world right now. And so if that's not proof for a tribal community and species, I don't know what is. Mm-hmm. And so like, we're designed to help and learn from each other. And so like, the chances are if somebody's in that deep despair, they have been learning from somebody or something or an institution that told them it had to be that way. And this is not true. It's not true.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so deep. This is so amazing. Because you've been in the Kapow community for a good period of time. You went through Kapow course back in the day.
I'm OG Kapow. Liz, I have a lot to thank you for, because like, your original courses and stuff is the reason why we started Agency Coach. Like, you looked me square in the eye and you said, Mike, if you don't do this, I'm going to do it. And I was like, oh shit, she's serious. Like, and I'm like, so I did it. And you helped in a big way, like 100%. Like, there is like a couple people I can name that are responsible directly for what we have today and the businesses we've created. And 100,000% Liz Benny, Kapow course, freaking social monkey business, like, going it old school. That's
back you. In the day, dude. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. I really, really, and I vividly remember. I know where I was standing when I said that.
I remember. I could picture it. I could see the flame in your eyes. I'm like, I saw your soul. I was like, what's going on?
Well, I knew that you would make it. And I knew that a little bit of like competition would be the thing that would, I used a little bit of a lot of masculine energy to spur you on in that one. So,
you definitely did. And, you know, it's like what to round out the question you asked is that, you know, I was in a room with you. Right. And you had accomplished something that I didn't think was possible. Right. And you were an example of that. And so I'm like, okay, well, what is she reading and who is she talking to? And what does she believe about the world that I should also believe? Right. And, you know, in some cases I've straight up asked you. In other cases, it was just watching you. In other cases, it was like watching you give advice to other people, or the way that you like, just the things that you were involving yourself in. So like, there's so much to be learned about the patterns of other people that we can copy.
Yes, 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 yes. I love this. And to oh my gosh, there's so many things that I can say. And Brenda, I know it's your turn here in a second. I know that we're about to
change. Yeah, I'm talking 1,000 miles, right? you know, my mouth opened and the world expanded, or whatever she said.
It was amazing. So, but what I'm hearing in this is like power actually starts with connection. So if we think about like the major themes that I'm hearing you say here, it's like you're talking about communication, we're talking about decisions, we're talking about, and what you actually said there, Mike, was the very first thing, if you're off, what my brain heard you say is, what are you connected to that is formulating your beliefs, your actions, your behavior, that is then getting the results that you do not desire? And for those of you listening and watching right now, and you're like, Liz, you dumbass, connection is spelled with a C. I know. Guess what? In society, we have to break rules sometimes. And that is the first thing that I actually teach entrepreneurs. We have to break rules. So connection in Kapow is spelled with a K. And then it's alignment, and you guys are both very aligned, and purpose, right? Living your purpose, taking ownership, you're both doing that. And then you get that gorgeous, incredible, amazing W, which is wealth. So Brenda, over to you. If someone is a Debbie Downer, if someone is a miserable millionaire right now, what advice would you have for this person?
I think sometimes when people get stuck in the suck, it's because they get so focused on a certain goal and they kind of lose track of what the overall vision is. And so for me, I think it's like reminding people, like if you're a parent, what did you think parenthood was going to look like? Like when you set out to be a parent, what was that dream that you had? Like, what did you want to do with your kids? What did you want to do as a family? Like, what was that big vision that you had? Did you want to be the family that traveled? Did you want to be the family that had game nights every Tuesday? Like, what was that thing that you always thought was going to be your story? And how can you get back to that? And maybe sometimes we had that and we're like, you know what? I actually now don't even need that anymore. But if you're in the suck, if you're like totally stuck in the suck, you're on the struggle bus and you're like, how do I get off this and get over here on the joyride? It's like, go back. And really think about, like they say, when you're stuck in, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, right? Like we were saying, like the beauty of that. But for the people who are really hating a job or hating what they're doing, and they say, you know, go back to, and what was it when your 10-year-old self, like what did they like to do? What lit you up back then? And going back to that. And it's the same thing. I think anytime you get so overly focused in one area where you're just like, this is going to be the thing that fulfills me. And then it doesn't. And then you keep going and it doesn't, and you keep going. And it's just like, zoom back out. And then like, think back, like what truly makes me tick? What used to make me happy? And like, maybe it's not the same stuff anymore, but it's something similar. Or like, what did I used to visualize I would do with my kids? Or what did I think when I was going to get married? What were our rocking chair moments going to look like together? And how can we create that now? And so I feel like for a lot of people, they get so focused on success that they feel kind of like when they reach something is whenever they're going to go back and focus on those other aspects of their life. But it all needs the focus. Like you got to work on little bits of all those pieces all the time. And so, you know, just like I read the business books, I'm also reading parenting books. I'm also reading relationship books. I'm also reading books to learn more about myself. And so I'm not just trying to get really, really good at business, but I'm also trying to be the best partner I can be. I'm trying to be the best parent I can be. I'm trying to be the best like daughter to my own parents. And, you know, like all these relationships in our life, I'm constantly trying to optimize every facet of my life, not just being so focused on one area that's like laser beam, you know, that blows a hole in everything else. So,
right. I think there's a culture, especially in the business, especially the folks who've reached the million plus mark, that it's like, you know, like it's okay. We were just talking about this earlier. The folks are like, hobbies, what hobbies? Like, you know, anti-hobby. I'm like, you know, that sounds terrible, right?
And it's my hobby is my business,
right? And it's like, that's, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm sure my hobby's been my business too at points, but it's like can't be forever, right? And then maybe I'm the wrong guy.
You've ever had no hobbies? Like you have all your video games that you fix up, and you got your Jeep, and like very outdoorsy, and you know, it's like, so we are so much hobby collectors, to the point where I think we almost take our hobbies for granted, like how much we have hobbies. And then we go to talk to other people and they like can't even keep up with like all the different things that we do. And like
you're both incredible. And
Scouts, troop leader, band. He's not just in one band. He's like in sometimes three at a time. And fundraising committees around the city. And, you know,
I just want to take a very quick second. I just want to take a very quick second to celebrate the both of you, because I didn't even know how incredible you were until this pod. I mean, I knew you were lovey-dovey. I knew you were an amazing couple. I knew you were, like, individually, I knew you were badass, incredible, amazing individuals. And just as a couple, it's so beautiful to see you together, to you lift each other up in the most beautiful way, and the way you lovingly look into each other's eyes and support each other and like giggle with each other. And, you know, it's just amazing. I just wanted to say a massive thank you to both of you for pouring it out here for everyone right now. I'm going to be raw, real, and honest. I've got a bus to move to a chiropractic appointment here coming up soon. I look after the old body. Not the old body, the young, supple, gorgeous 43-year-old body that I have.
The old girl.
Oh, but I just want to say I love you so very much. Are there any final words that you feel called to say to the entrepreneurs listening and watching right now?
You go.
I mean, I think if you want the relationship to reflect that balance, you gotta put the time in it. Like, just like you go to a gym, you're not gonna get the body without the gym. You're not gonna, you know, have the health without the nutrition. The same thing is, you gotta put in the reps and you gotta put in the time with your partner. If you want that to be an area of strength also. And so, yeah, just like making the time for it, like doing the date nights, having the conversations, going to conferences together. If he recommends a book, I read it, because if it was important enough that he recommended it, that means like it's worthwhile and he wouldn't have recommended it otherwise. And so just like putting in those reps and putting in that time to make it get stronger. And recently a big thing for us is we've really been intentional about surrounding ourselves with other strong couples. Because that's so amazing. Important to us. And so we started to find ourselves at like that time in our lives where a lot of people we knew were getting divorced. And while I want to be a supportive friend to whichever one I end up on the side of, I also know that like that is not going to nurture my relationship and my marriage to be around that. And so then that means I need to seek out a new friend that comes as a pair and have strong couple friends.
That is a huge secret. If you want a happy marriage, make sure you have friends who have happy marriages, period. That's it. If you want a successful business where you love what you're doing, be around people who have successful businesses, who love what they're doing. Beautiful, amazing, both of you. Mike, is there anything that you would love to say as we close out at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think Brenda said it perfectly, and I think Liz sums it up. It's that... you know, it's okay to hit the delete key on things that aren't working for you, whether that be alcohol, whether that be friends, or whether it be a book you got three quarters of the way through and you're like, this thing sucks, delete, right? Like being okay with that, and editing as you go along. Cause like, you know, if you're going to design the thing, you're not going to get it right the first time. You got to keep editing.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Incredible. I love you both so much. I wish I could give you just a big old hug right now. I will be giving Brenda you a hug very, very, very soon down here in New Zealand. And beautiful Mikey, I will see you sometime. I don't know where, I don't know when, I don't know why, but it will happen. So I love you both so much. Thank you for hanging out with me here on the Happy Million Show. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks so much for having us, Liz.
Love you, Liz.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other ifs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.